Hello and welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew, and today we have on co-host Kyle Michalowski, and we are talking nothing but shark patterns. So we are talking about everything that we learned from the Gold Coast experience that we went on Monday night. They have a three-hour open session every week, so feel free to join us out there if you'd like. But we're talking this week about shark pattern and the breakdown from Kyle's ABT experience making finals. So hope you enjoy. I'm sitting here in the studio. We are ready. I'm talking a little bit with Mr. Eric Hatchett on the Facebook world right now. So we might have him calling in a little bit. But right now I have my setup going. So I have the notes from the shark pattern that we did this past Monday at the Gold Coast with Edwin. And that was the first time we did it this year. Oh, Eric Hatchett's calling. No way. Hold on. Let me see if I can get him on speakerphone and maybe we can have him into the studio.
Sounds good.
Mr. Eric Hatchett.
Hey, I'm at dinner eating, bro. Is everything cool?
Oh yeah, dude. We're just giving you a call, seeing what you're up to. I wanted to see if you were free tonight to have a little chit chat, go over the wager.
No, it's that I'm at dinner eating. So yeah, just text me tomorrow or something.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you didn't have to call me. All right, no worries. Bye. I don't know why he called. He's at dinner. I said, where are you at? And then he just called. So, So this past Monday, me and Kyle, we were heading over to the Gold Coast. Edwin was running a sport pattern practice there. It's not a league. It's just a practice. Anyone's welcome. It's a really good opportunity to get better at your sport pattern game or just bowling in general. So we headed over there around, I think Kyle got there around 6. I got there about 7. And there were people there. Like there was at least what 30 people there.
Yep.
And you know, it was a good time. We jumped on, there was two different patterns. They had the 2019 shark pattern. And you know what year the cheetah pattern was?
I'm pretty sure it was 2019 as well. I could be wrong.
Okay. So let's just say we got both were 2019 patterns. We did not go on the cheetah pattern. That was just bombarded with people. So we focused on the shark pattern. It was a 48 feet in distance, a little bit longer, 30 milliliters of oil. So would you say that's more of the on the heavier side, Kyle?
It's in between.
In between. Okay. And we were just repping it out. So we were shooting shots, you know, obviously picking up the spares as well. Was there anything that you took away from the shark pattern from your perspective, Kyle?
For me, just the basic stuff where you just need to keep your angles in front of you. The pattern was kind of burnt from the there was a few two-handers that were just going up the gutter, so like the gutter played the whole time when we were there, so it just made things play kind of a little differently than they should. But it was pretty just practicing getting that straighter roll. And then sometimes they'd go right and just practice playing up the boards where it hooked and just played tight to the friction. And basically, I just kept, I look in front of me. On longer patterns, you got more forgiveness, but you also have more potential to miss right because there's the oil is so long. If your ball, if you don't have any back end on your ball, then you got to keep it close to the head pin. Luckily with me, my rev rate's higher, so I get kind of a break on that. And for you, your ball speed's higher, so it helps you out on that pattern too. That's why long patterns will favor us, because when you have more revs than speed, long patterns are your best friend.
Absolutely. You know, and I did a little cheat sheet before I went into it. I wanted to have some like insight on maybe like how to attack the pattern. And the things that you're saying are the things that they were saying to stay away from. So like try to keep like definitely try to keep your angle straight. Don't give away the right side of the pocket. Like really don't try to open it up too much, because that's when you're going to run into problems. And forward roll is the key. So those are the couple things that I read going into it. Try to not get that, you know, sidewinder spin. I don't know the right terminology. I'm a baseball player. But
so spin is basically a component of how much your ball spins like a top versus rolls. And the more it spins like a top, the longer it goes. And the more end over end, the earlier it rolls. And so for me, though, my ball is naturally end over end, so I can get around it and it'll still do what someone who's like spinning it, trying to roll it, will do. So I naturally have that extra hook, so I can more focus on just getting rotation versus I don't really have to worry about rolling it too much on a long pattern.
Okay. One of the things too that they were saying is you should feel like you're throwing it at the head pin. Would you say that that's accurate at all?
Yes, but you have to know how you're going about it, because like obviously you, depending on the length, which 45 on Shark is pretty close to that length where you should be playing the head pin, but like you can't just 100% set it in stone because of topography. And like I said, those two handers were destroying the right, so it made it hook a little bit. So if you played the head pin too much too right, you would have went high every time. So you, if you got left enough, you could play it the head pin consistently and we were fine. But that's something you got to take into account, is how people are playing it and what's happening. And also topography, which Gold Coast is kind of weird, but that area of Gold Coast is a lot more like a normal lane, whereas like some of the other parts of Gold Coast are like really, really weird.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the Gold Coast. Would you say it's one of the older alleys in town, or how does it sit compared to a lot of the other alleys?
I don't know the ages of the alleys, because like I haven't been in bowling that long either. I've been in more years than you, but not enough that I know like how long any of the bowling alleys have been here. I'm assuming all of them, all but South Point, are pretty old at this point now, because I think South Point was replaced a few years ago. But other than that, I haven't heard anything being replaced besides like Red Rock and stuff like that. But most stuff isn't even bowled at Red Rock. It's pretty much just open play now.
Yeah, you know, like starting off too, like I got really comfortable bowling at the South Point a lot. So now this year bowling at the Orleans and Samstown and Gold Coast, haven't made it to the Red Rock, but I'm noticing that the lanes and the typography definitely does come into play along with the oil. I don't know how much I should be focusing on the typography versus the oil, but it is something that over time I want to become more aware and take the proper notes and know whatever, you know, alley you're in is definitely going to, knowing the inside of whatever alley you're in is going to help you out in the long run. So yeah, that's something I do want to look forward to paying attention to.
So with that, it's just basically the older and more place hooks, the weaker ball you want to start off with. Obviously, you don't want to start off with like something shiny where it just becomes erratic, but you kind of want a weaker solid or something like that so that you're not putting yourself into trouble, and it's not like just overhooking or rolling out, and you can have multiple different issues depending on the topography. Like some places the gutters don't hook, like the gutters don't hook, so if depending on what's out there, sometimes you can throw it there and it just doesn't have a chance.
For sure. So I have a couple other things down here. You tell me how accurate this is, but at the end of the day, we were experiencing the pattern, but at the same time, I want to have an idea if I ever face the Shark pattern, how I'm going to approach it in warmups, the balls I want to use, and the takeaway that I want to have an audio journal as well as just a notepad of things that I'm learning about the patterns, the balls. That way, when I show up to these tournaments, it's not as much of a guessing game in warmups, trying to figure it out with the six balls I bring, but it's more of a plan of attack. And I noticed that's what a lot of the better bowlers do. So a couple things that I did see in the video, tell me if this is accurate or not, because again, these things are, YouTube can be sometimes spotty with information. So that's why I'm cross-referencing it with you. They're saying that in warmups, you really want to focus on breaking down the 9 to 13 board. Does that sound about accurate?
Yes, you may want to break down a little further right than that, just because of how slow your ball speed is.
Okay.
So that you can have a little more room if you miss right.
So what boards would you say in comparison to that, since you know my game and this person on YouTube is just a random person?
I would say like maybe two boards over, so like 11 to 7.
Okay, 11 to 7. And they said that for that particular pattern, 2,000, nothing more than that would really be necessary, because anything more than that, you would get too much of an earlier read. And then as you're starting to move left, now you're giving away the pocket. Does that sound accurate?
So this will be something that you should always take into account. Longer patterns, even though they seem like they don't hook, the oil's thinner, stretched out over the lane. So if a short pattern has the same mills as a long pattern seems like it hooks less. But the thing is, it's stretched out over the lane. So your ball, even though it's not noticeably hooking, it's slowly hooking out. And it's running out of energy as it goes down the lane if you use something too strong on a longer pattern, because it's just able to touch the actual lane and create that friction slowly through the lane, and it just slowly burns out. Whereas like on a short pattern, it's short, but there's a whole ton of oil. So it amplifies that thing. And like on a short pattern, sometimes you'll be like lined up and then it'll just go long and you're like, this is short. Why is it hooky? Or why isn't it hooking? And it's because the oil just stretched out and you just threw it right through that spot that you stretched out, and it just created it, made it so much longer.
Okay. Definitely write that down. Is there any particular balls that you saw that you liked for yourself? Like just general, like I said, that way it could apply for anyone else that's hearing this as well. Like what balls did you see that worked for you? And are the typical balls that you'd want to use on a longer pattern like the shark pattern?
For me, I was using the RSTX one. I usually like that for longer patterns just because it still has some pearl, but it's not super shiny. And it allows, and it's strong enough that the ball still like doesn't overreact and it still reads the pattern correctly. I also like the idle. I've been really going back and forth between those balls on a lot of patterns recently because the RST shapes on the back end. So when the RST starts getting too erratic, I throw the idle, and then the idle smooths it out but still hooks there. Or then like if my idle is has no back end, then I can throw the RST from there and it'll start shaping.
Okay. For me, you know, I brought, I think it was the nuclear cell, way too shiny. That thing was just overhook, underhook. And I had a fatal venom that had a little bit of surface on it, but it is a pearl. I didn't get to throw it, actually. And then I had my urethane, which is just my crutch. And obviously, I started off with that. And I was finding some success with it. Now, I heard that if you can kind of control your ball speed and not try to overpower the pattern, that could work. But maybe I should probably get away from using the urethane on a longer pattern, maybe reserve that for the shorter pattern. Would you agree with that?
No. If you have a look with urethane, it's almost always either in play or out of play. So if it's in play, just use it. Like, there's no reason not to. If you,
right.
Urethane reads the front. So if it looks good, that means it's in play. If it's does like if it just does nothing or just instantly hooks, that means it's out of play.
Okay. So now, as far as if I were to bowl a 3-game set, would I want to start with the urethane and kind of create a hold area and then kind of move left and play off that hold, or would I want to use the urethane if my balls are overhooking towards the transition? Which way would you attack it?
So I would just use, if you're going to, let's say you're just balling a tournament, you're in practice, throw the urethane in practice. After two shots, or after three shots, the third shot should be the one that you go off of, because the first two shots, it's just going to have that urethane overhook that always happens when you have a fresh urethane cover.
Yep.
So you just need to let some oil get into the ball before you make a judgment. So at least three shots before you commit to a urethane. And from there, if urethane looks good, use that. You're going to burn up the heads right there. And then later on, you're going to want to just, on a long pattern at least, you're just going to move left of it and keep it at that head pin, and just that hopefully the urethane hold will be right there. And then the friction from the where the urethane pulled the oil off the lane would be to the right of it. Depending, you may have to go way further right, possibly, and or further left, and just completely avoid the whole area and just aim at the head pin. The nice thing with long patterns, especially with your speed and your rubber rate combination, if you get further left and you like basically throwing it at the head pin, it will, or you may even have to throw it a little right, and it'll just fade and just walk into the pocket. If it doesn't do that, then you just have to go straight at the head pin, and it'll just go through, it'll go to it and then stop and go right through it.
So as far as the shark pattern goes, we've talked about a couple things. I think the last thing that I saw, slash down lane reaction, 35 and 4.5 inch. Does that make any sense?
So I wouldn't go off of that too much. I would morally go to whoever your pro shop guy is and just tell them that you're looking for more back end, you're playing a longer pattern.
Got it.
You need the shape so that if you miss a little right, you still have that back end to give it a chance. Or if you have built the pattern up properly, when you move in and you miss right, you have that miss right, and then on a long pattern, you're always going to have the miss left because of how long it is. As long as your angle's correct, you'll have the miss left, and it'll just cover the head pin, and the miss right should hit that friction that you built up and then read it. And so that's something that you should definitely talk to your pro shop guy about, just trying to dial that in, because sometimes it just like doesn't match up. The cut and dry kind of options for that aren't really very sensible, because everyone's different. Your ball roll is way different than my ball roll. Our ball speeds are way different. So going off of what someone else does is not very conducive to your game. And so you always want to go, unless if they're super close to you, how they throw it, I wouldn't take any layout recommendations or anything like that.
Okay, so the layouts are more specific to you, not a general rule of thumb you should go by anyone's standards. Okay, cool. So that's everything that I had down here from my perspective of the shark pattern, my takeaway. Next week, we're going to be focusing on a different pattern. I think we've already mentioned that. Do you want to talk about it a little bit, or is there anything else you wanted to talk about that Monday night?
Nope. We'll just try to get on to Cheetah next week and see how it goes.
Perfect. Yeah. So just want to say thanks again for Edwin for having us out there. That was an awesome thing. And like I said, we're going to be out there the entire fall. Side note, as far as just we're going to transition into just where I've been bowling and things going on with me and things going on with Kyle. I've been focusing more on the gym, focusing on my legs, focusing since the summer league ended at the Orleans. You know, I know me and Reggie have been talking about knee problems here and there, and I was like, you know what, man, I got to nip this in the bud before it becomes a problem. And, you know, my team kind of disintegrated. They all had fall leagues to go to. So for me, I was like, you know what, instead of me scrambling to find a team, let me get my knee in check before I get back into competing. and my knee feels great. Like that's the takeaway. It's taken me a month to really just work on squats, flexibility, hamstring curls, leg extensions, calf raises, anything that has to do with the legs, cardio, you know, days in between the lifting days, I'm there cardioing. And believe it or not, not only is it a mental refresher for your brain, because they always say that when you work out, you feel better, the endorphin rush and all that jazz. But man, there is a clear, concise, like view that I have, and as far as just what I'm trying to accomplish either in the gym or in the bowling alley, that I feel like I didn't have over the summer. I felt like I was just lethargic and tired and kind of that brain fog when I would be bowling. Like it just was, well, I was ready for it to be over instead of me being excited about it. So I went back recently before Monday to GameWorks, and I got some work in, and I felt great about that. And I really think it is a credit to me taking a step back before I take a step forward. And now I'm ready to go attack these Wednesday night leagues over at Samstown. I know Daryl runs the Sport Pattern League there. Do you know what pattern they're running right now? And is it a doubles league, or what's the situation on that? Because I'm probably going to be there next Wednesday.
It's a doubles league. Yeah, and you can just come try to sub. And basically, we're bowling on Sydney right now. It's a short pattern, like Cheetah, and it is very, very tricky.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into that probably next week. Once we both have our experience of that, we'll just kind of break that down. And every week we'll have a different pattern to talk about. And we'll just leave that as a forefront for next week. But is there anything that you had going on this past week as far as bowling goes? Because for me, other than just working on my legs, and now that I'm ready to go, I feel like my mechanics are better. You know, my two-handed game is still a little spotty here and there, but it is the game that I want to go with going forward. What have you been up to as far as your bowling stuff and things going on in your world?
So I've been bowling. I bowled ABT this past weekend. I did not do well. I shot some big games for how difficult the pattern was, but then I would move to the next pair and shoot 160, 170. And I don't know if it was just because of how different people played them and that I needed to be like more on top of that, or if I just needed to change my plan of attack when it stopped working like immediately. Because like I started off one game where I went spare, 8 in a row, open for 240. And then I moved to the next pair and shoot 160. And I was at playing them similar to how I played the last lane. I moved a little left because I knew it might hook a little bit more since other people were on it. And then from there, it just couldn't put it together. So I managed to make the finals, and then I was just completely out of it. My first set, I had a good game, and then just all downhill from there. So I had some stuff that I learned from it physically. Like I had takeaways that will help my game with my accuracy and stuff like that as I'm going through. But right now I've been practicing to try to incorporate them a little bit better because I'm trying to fine tune the details. And ever since I've redone all my bowling balls with the 2LS stuff, I'm now starting to collect all the puzzle pieces, and then I need to put the puzzle back together so that my game makes sense again. But it's looking hopeful. Obviously, I'm a little hurting from ABT, so I also wanted to touch on the fact of the gym stuff. And I've been looking at what I'm going to start doing. And going forward, I'm going to be changing gyms at the end of the year because I had the contract thing where you get where they charge you for the year. So I wanted to ride that out. But I'm going to change gyms. I'm not sure where I'm going yet. But I wanted to start incorporating a program once I recover from ABT a little bit that I've been reading, which relates to your knee pain and stuff like that, which is this guy, He's called Knees Over Toes Guy. I think his name is Patrick, Ben Patrick or something like that. And he has a system where he breaks down how to strengthen your joints and all the muscles surrounding. And it basically strengthens your whole lower body as a whole by doing movements that you don't typically do. Like some of the things he talks about is walking backwards, because it builds strength in spots that you don't normally use very often.
Is he the bulletproof your knees guy? I've seen this guy on YouTube who's like all about bullets.
So.
Okay. And we might have crossed over the same guy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Basically, he talks about doing different movements that people don't normally do. Like in the weightlifting world, having your knees go over your toes is usually a bad thing. But this guy embraces it. Obviously, he doesn't do it with the weights that people are talking about. That's the reason why. But he does it like he'll do like a squat where like one leg's all the way back and it looks like he's on a split, but his front leg is like fully bent. Like it's like looks like it's almost touching the ground, like almost like 3 inches off the ground, where his leg is forward with his knee almost touching the ground and his back legs all the way down on the ground.
Yeah, whatever it takes, man. I mean, at this point, flexibility. I mean, Conor McGregor, you can laugh at, you know, his style, but his big thing was like movement. I remember when he was like, dude, that's my bread and butter, is like knowing the movement of your body and the joints and all that. So
yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about starting to take on his program, because for me, the more I think about it, I have all the strength, but problem is in bowling, you don't access strength the normal ways. And I feel like if I can get my lower body to have strength in more of these positions, like getting low and using my legs more, especially being two-handed, it'll benefit me greatly. And so I'm hoping to get that started in next month or two and just start doing it, because I've been having knee pain as well. It's not been as bad as it has been. Luckily, it's been like a little like just a dull pain, but before it was kind of rough after bowling, and now it's just been kind of like a little stinging. Like I feel it for a few minutes or so, and then it's done. But
yeah, and that's something too, that man, that I'm noticing, is that sometimes it's just wear out. You know, your joints can only take so much, but then when you build up your joints and the muscles around your joints, they can take a lot more. So like for me to go from 16 straight months of bowling, no gym, to like less bowling and gym all the time, the body is responding in the proper way. That's what the body is designed to do. And you know, some people may hear like, oh, knee pain, that's scary. It's like, well, no, like you can get hurt doing any sport, anything. You know, all these sports have, you know, risks and things you should be aware of. So we're just trying to look forward into like, you know, the longevity of our bowling career and how long we want to bowl and how healthy we want to be. Because at the end of the day, some people bowl just to have fun, but some people bowl to enrich their lives. And I feel like that's the category I'm in right now. I enjoy bowling, but if it's not enriching myself and my health outside of the lanes, then it's not the sport for me. Yeah. And, you know, and there was a time where I was just like, man, like, is this like a sport just about, you know, partying, or is it like, what is the purpose of bowling? But you can define your own purpose within any sport you're in.
Yep.
And, you know, like for me, I feel very comfortable knowing that I'm putting health and strength at the forefront, versus like, you know, just doing it all the time and then not having that same excitement and breaking your body down. That doesn't seem like a recipe for a success long term. So
yeah.
I'm excited that we're breaking down these things that maybe some people would maybe ignore, or, you know, if you're having knee pain out there or any sort of ailments, like listen to your body, you know, like adjust to what you're feeling and hearing. I know a teammate of mine from the summer was talking to me about, you know, having some things going on, and he's going to be adjusting his weightlifting schedule. And, you know, I'll say it to you as well, Kyle, anytime I go or anytime you want to go, I have the EOS quote unquote black card. So if you or a friend wants to come with me, it's free. And you know, I'm not welcoming that to everyone, but what I'm trying to get at is find however you need to get, you know, better, whatever it may take, you know, and I'm offering that to you. I'm offering that to my friend. But at the end of the day, like, do what you can do, even if it's air squats, you know, that sounds so corny, but body weight, body movements, things that you can do within your body at your house. That's a great place to start. Before I was in the gym, I was doing push-ups. I was doing little things to prepare to work my confidence up to going back to the gym, because let's be honest, sometimes going to the gym, maybe you haven't been in the gym in a year or two, it's very kind of like, oh, there's all these big guys in there, like juice heads is what it feels like. But man, I'll just speak positive to the gym world real quick. Man, there's been so many positive vibes and people that are just like, hey man, no, you got the weights and they'll help you out. And so my mind has been revamped towards the gym world, and I'm all in right now.
Yeah. Good.
But other than that, man, we've gone over half an hour. We wanted to keep it a little shorter this time. We're going to have a lot of patterns to talk about, but this was our recap of things that were going on. We've taken about what? It was like a 2-week hiatus of just bowling and readjusting what we're going to do. Quality's a little bit better. We got some better mics and some better stuff in the studio, so that's good. But is there anything else on your mind, Kyle, in the bowling world or things going on this fall?
Nope. I'm preparing for member, non-member, non-champs, and SMBT Masters. And that's basically it. I'm just going to hopefully get the thing, those pieces that I was talking about, put them together, and get ready for these tournaments. Well, I'm the big boys, so got to put up or shut up.
For sure, for sure. And lastly, before we sign out, I just want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Bob Godin, Mr. 25K. He won the ABT Winter National, so congratulations to him. Quality bowler, quality guy. And, yeah, just want to give a shout-out to Bob.
Yep. Congratulations.
All right. Till next time. Have a good night. Hey guys, thanks for making it all the way to the end. If you took the time to listen, I really appreciate doing this. And you know, we are going ham on the audio world, the bowling world, and now the gym world. So we plan on kind of just talking about our experiences on the way. If anyone out there has any thoughts, we always appreciate the kind feedback. And we hope you guys have a great weekend. High scores as always. Talk to you next time.